From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat's Idaho Matters. Thousands of miles from Idaho, in a small rural community in Bolivia, people struggle to get irrigation water to their crops during a very long dry season. Because it often doesn't rain for 6 months of the year, farmers rely on dams and pipes to move water around, and those pipes often clog up, putting crops and not even drinking water in jeopardy. The University of Idaho's College of Engineering's Humanitarian Engineering Corps traveled to Bolivia to work with farmers there on this project. The Corps is run by students whose goal it is to make real, lasting change in the communities that it partners with. Here to tell us more about the project are Dr. Michael Lowry, a professor of civil engineering, and Angelica Vasquez Martinez and Corvin Jones, both civil engineering seniors at the U of I. Welcome to Idaho Matters. Hi, everybody.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so tell us about the College of Engineering's Humanitarian Engineering Corps. That's a mouthful. Dr. Lowry, maybe we'll start with you. What is the mission of the Corps?
Well, you did it in your intro quite nicely. It's to help those in need and use our skill set as engineering students to bring that service to them. So where you are seeking opportunities wherever we can. We've been in Bolivia for the last 12 years, but wherever we can do something to improve society, in this case, drinking water.
Wow. Oh, and in this case, Bolivia to, and I hope I'm saying this right, Poteros. Where is it? What does it look like? And maybe Angelica and Corvin, you can jump in here. Tell us a little bit about the trip and where you went.
Yes, so the community of Potreros is about an hour away from one of Bolivia's capitals, Sucre. It's an arid region, very mountainous, very rural. And we worked with about 200 people, maybe 100 families, to get clean water year long to them.
And you mentioned it's rural. I think I mentioned the climate. Is it true that there's often no rain for 6 months of the year?
Yeah, it's almost as if they're living on about 3 months of rain, which is their winter. And so all that rain they collect is pretty much what they're living off of for the rest of the year. It's really unfortunate and very different than we have here.
And that's not just irrigation, right? That's drinking water too?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay, so how do they get the water from where it is, where is it, to where they need it? I mentioned pipes. Tell me a little bit about how that works.
So throughout the years, the community has tended to the land, and they're very familiar with where the most water flows down the mountain range and where springs and potential springs can pop up. So they derive a lot of their water for both irrigation and drinking from those natural springs. And they actually have a pretty decent water distribution system that lets them get water to their houses. So they don't have to travel very far to get that drinking water. And our goal is to just increase their storage and their potential for more springs.
And so talk about some of the problems that the farmers are facing with the piping setup. There are a lot of pictures from your trip, and I see a lot of pipes and a lot of people hovering over those irrigation boxes. I think some of us, in the Treasure Valley are familiar with those if we get irrigation, but talk about that piping system and the problems that happen with those.
Well, there's a lot of different things that contribute to the problems in Bolivia right now, especially with the community we are in. They all have agriculture and they're sustenance farmers. So everything that they are growing is what they live off of. And if they don't use it, they'll sell it. That's the only profit they're making for their community other than grants and applications for funding from outside government bodies. The biggest thing when it comes to the water is there's a lot of cows and pigs and goats that live in the area. And so where the water is where they are at. And unfortunately, there's no filtration at all for the water they're drinking. And so with all of the animals all their secretions right next to the catchment boxes. It's all unfortunately being filtered into their drinking water as well. And it's something that is a concern of us. Obviously, they have much better immune systems than we do. We are unfortunately not able to drink their water, but they have to live off of that. And that's something that we would like to improve for them as well.
Well, talk about how you go about doing that. It sounds like, you know, with the engineering corps, you're immersing yourself in the community to find out how they deal with problems, what problems they face, and how you can help help them the best.
Yes. So I want to make it very clear here. If their struggle of maybe like needing drinking water, needing clean drinking water, and our struggle of not being able to, if we don't have a very clear understanding of what the community needs, we may not be helping them at all. So they actually reached out to us and we were invited to see if we could help. We don't want to go in there and, you know, encroach on their land and their space. But yeah, I mean, we talked to almost everybody in the community and they all seem very excited to have us there and collaborate with us on this project that could be put life-changing to them.
Well, I was going to ask about that. I see pictures. We're going to put a lot of pictures on our website of your trip. But I saw some pictures where you're spending time with the folks living there, sharing meals. How did they receive your team?
It was fantastic. You know, I've never actually been out of the country before. This was my first travel trip abroad, and I didn't really know what to expect. But going into it, they were so welcoming. You know, it was long, hard days working, and they understand that their living is very different than our living. And they wanted us to take things at our own pace. You know, they were always having us take breaks. They would feed us hot meals all the time. Very welcoming. It felt like we were helping the community out and we were learning from them while doing it. It was a fantastic experience.
Wow. We're speaking with Dr. Michael Lowry, a professor of civil engineering, and Angelica Vasquez Martinez and Corvin Jones, both civil engineering seniors at the U of I, about their project to help farmers in Bolivia. Dr. Lowry, this is all part of something called Engineers in Action. And this is the core is student run, right?
That's right. Yeah. And so to your earlier question about the specifics of how we're doing it and how it works, it's a multi-year process. So, and the Engineer in Action is our local contact in Bolivia. So they're a different organization. They're a nonprofit organization that's actually Bolivian, run by Bolivians. And this community contacted them and requested help with their drinking water system. And then as our liaison, Engineer in Actions forwarded us that information. Then this year was our first time with this new community. As I said, we've been there for 12 years and it's been three or four other communities, usually for about 3 or 4 years each one. So as the first year meeting with this community, it was really an information gathering. We arrived, we met with the community leaders, they told us the situation, and we spent a lot of time hiking, actually. We hiked through the mountains to find the springs that they're currently using, and also to visit the springs that they have identified as potential springs. And the students used what they have learned in school about the flow that is coming out of a spring to make calculations. They did measurements and calculations. They did water quality tests and gathered information about potential at each of the springs. How many springs did we go to, Angelica and Corbin?
I believe four.
Four. So we hiked four, and like, for example, the first one we went to was about a 3-mile hike up the mountains to find that source. And so this now the students will bring this back, they'll take that information, and then both the students that went this trip as well as the new batch of students that join the club each year, they start working on the data and the information to develop some potential solutions. We'll send that data and information, the design, back to our partner, Engineers in Action in Bolivia, as well as to the community. And through a communications that happen all year long. For example, we already are planning our next phone call soon with them, just in a few weeks here. We start finalizing what we're going to do next year. And then the next year comes back, we do a portion of the project, and then a third year, and then maybe a fourth year, and that's how the process continues.
Well, you mentioned that U of I students have been going to Bolivia since, I think, 2012 on different projects. Some of them are 5 years in the making.
That's right. And some of them were in very, very remote locations. The club was started with another professor, Dr. Fritz Fiedler, and one of his graduate students who was just really excited and enthused about the idea of helping out. And together they established it, and their first community they went to was in the very high Andes, at like 18,000 feet or something. It was just ridiculous. And they were,
wow.
They were, no, not that high, 13,000 feet, but very high. What we were at was closer to 10,000 feet, still very high. It's exciting to be with a community year after year and really get to know them. Some students will only go twice. It's unlikely that any student would go more than twice just because of the rotation of opportunities for who's going to go.
Wow. I think this is an amazing thing. And I've got a couple of minutes left. Angelica and Corvin, how did this project impact you? What did you come away with? Angelica, let's start with you.
I've always been passionate about work abroad, and this was just another great opportunity for me to get that hands-on experience and really understand and hone in on what direction I want to take that passion towards. And I think it not only reinforced my engineering skills, but also reinforced the vision for my future.
Corvin, what about you? You got about a minute left.
I'd say very similar. You know, it was a great experience for me because, like I previously mentioned, I haven't traveled abroad before. One thing that I really enjoyed was being able to immerse myself in this culture that was unlike anything I've ever been in before. And the other thing was just honing those engineering skills. The engineering that I'm going to apply over in Bolivia is very different than what I'll ever do here in the States. And I wanted to, you know, try something new, expand. So beyond just helping others, it was helping myself grow as an engineer. And I think that's what we like to do as a club, is help our engineers and students, as well as helping the community and bring up, you know, good people.
We've been speaking with Dr. Michael Lowry, professor of civil engineering, and Angelica Vasquez Martinez and Corvin Jones, both civil engineering seniors at the University of Idaho, about their project to help farmers in Bolivia. I want to thank all of you very much, especially Dr. Lowry, who is way out in the world, not in the U.S. right now. So I want to appreciate everybody for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Goodbye from Santiago, Chile is where I am currently.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.